World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, you got me scrambling right here at the very end. The Holy Spirit just said, yes, the Holy Spirit just said something to me. And hang on a second, because I got to send it to Spencer here, and I got to send it to me. Thanks for joining us. Let me send it to me. Hang on. Huh? And that is, what is it, Coach? Thought we had it done. Let's pull it up. Okay, Spencer, it's coming your way. Going to use that here. Hey, we're going to do communion. Get ready, do communion. Man, Holy Spirit's so real. So it's so real. And you know, the Holy Spirit isn't, how do I say that? It's not emotion. It's not all emotion. And, thank you. Boy, I love the Holy Spirit. He just whispered in my ear again. Spencer, pull up. Go to Webster's real quick. Folks, get your communion. Get ready. Pull up charisma. CH, what is charisma? Oh, I didn't look at that. They didn't even have it back in Webster's time. Charisma. Spencer's going someplace else on me. I'm hanging on somewhere. Stay with me. Charisma. A personal magic of leadership, arousing special popular loyalty or enthusiasm. I said, boy, that guy's got some charisma. Hey, what was his name? Paul Newman? He had some charisma, didn't he? What was the charisma? There was a charm, something special about them that drew you to them. How does that differ from the charisma we see in the American church? What they call the charismatic revival. Is it a special magnetic charm or appeal? Is the charismatic movement, is it more than just an outward expression of what you're feeling inside? And say, are you charismatic? What does that mean? Betty, if somebody were to say to you, are you charismatic? What would that mean? In today's religious vernacular, if somebody said to you, are you a charismatic? What does that mean today, Betty? Do you know? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just see you on my screen. I'm not going to put Betty on the spot. Charismatic means.
Okay, I'm going.
Do you speak in tongues? That's really what charismatic movement has become. The gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church is the outward expression of the giftings of God, Holy Spirit, the charismatic movement. And the charismatic movement has become so off base. Emotionalism. That's part of the charismatic movement. I'm going to shock you. I still believe in the speaking of tongues. I still believe in it. Prayer language. I'm sorry. I believe in it. Why? It happened to me. I believe in it. But I don't go around blabbing and glabbing everything. There's a time and a place. And I'm getting down the trail. I don't want to get down. We're going to do communion here. Did I say that? And. So this charisma, we love charismatic people. I'm kind of charismatic, aren't I? I'm sort of charismatic. There's something about me that draws you to come back every. I hope it's the stuff we talk about. I hope it's not just me, the See, the magnification, the glorification, the lifting up of individuals has destroyed Christianity. If you have a real gift from God, man, you better guard that. You better guard that. That's a gift from God. So I'm telling you, as you sit here with me today, I said this to Michelle before I came to God, I love that woman. On Valentine's Day. Man, sometimes I'm nervous because I don't want to misuse the gift. I don't want to, I don't know if you guys picked this up or not. I could take this gift probably, and if I started preaching the right message here, I bet I could get me a big following. I bet you I could. If I start doing some charismatic things and healings and, you guys know what I'm talking about. You see it on TV, right? You see it, right? That's like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's like spiritual pornography. We're dealing with a lot of that in American Christianity. Spiritual pornography. Watching a Christianity that turns you on. Somebody say amen just so I know I got one friend out there.
Boom.
And that ain't what it's about. It ain't about that at all, man. It's a show. I'm going to tell you this. The Lord's bringing that stuff down. He's bringing that stuff down. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I'm just kind of confessing to you today. Sometimes I'm really, really nervous coming down here because something I don't know. I don't know. And yet people look at me like I'm an expert. Not everybody. Some of you know that I'm not. But you look at me like I'm an expert. And Trent said yesterday, hey, Coach Dave, take us through Ephesians 1. And you know, it really kind of caught me, Trent, because I thought, dang, I can't do that. In fact, I put it off, didn't I? So, man, I got to read that. Man, I got to ponder that thing a little bit. I got to let the Holy Spirit say things. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. It's in me. We just don't know how to access. Can I tell you the truth? The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Some of you don't hear his voice. You've never been taught to. Or you don't think you hear something and you don't think that was the Lord. So I don't ever want to, I take what I do really, really seriously, and I'm humbled by it. And I'm just a guy cutting my way through the brush, trying to find out the truth. I wish Rush was around, Rush Limbaugh. Relentless pursuit of the truth. If it's not true, I don't want to believe it. And if it is true, I want to believe it, despite how much my Baptist friends or Lutheran friends or charismatic friends say it's not. Despite all that, I want to know the truth. So we're going to jump in that a little bit. We're going to do communion here in a minute. But before we do, I got this from Kevin sent this to me this morning. And man, this is for some of you out there. Are you looking at me? Tomorrow is promised to no man. Friends, I could drop dead tomorrow. In fact, yesterday, Michelle went to Columbus to visit an elderly friend over there. And I was just thinking, here I was sitting around in the house by myself. And I thought, man, what if she never came back? Not that she's running off with somebody. That's not what I meant. What if she had a wreck? What if some terrorist jumped out of something? Life is a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. The reality of it. I'm going to get into Ephesians 1, Trent. I'm going to get into it a little bit. I'm going to get into something else, though, too. We are missing so much of what's going on around us in the busyness of our life and, dare I say it, the spiritual box that we are in. Somebody put you in that box. and you can't get out. And I'm prompted to, because we're going to do communion. I said that 10 times. I assume Joe's here with us. Joe, get ready. We're going to do it. This was sent to me today by Kevin in the title. I've never heard this guy. Cody Johnson, Till You Can't. Hang on a minute. Till You Can't. My buddy Dave Klontz died. I've been probably a couple, 3 weeks now. I can't go have breakfast with him anymore. I can't sit down and reminisce with him, talk about it. I can't do it anymore. Can't. And I think a lot of you, I talked about this is the Holy Spirit, bear with me. A lot of you have some things that you're putting off that you'll never get the chance to do. An apology, phone call. We'll get to that later. I'll do that next time. It may not be next time. And a lot of us find ourselves locked into a prison of unforgiveness. Oh yeah. Well, you can say I forgive him, but you know when they hit that spot, you know, right? So I just think a lot of us have a lot of things left undone. And before we take communion, I want you to ponder the fact till you can't. Go ahead and play that, Spence.
You can tell your old man you'll do some largemouth fish in another town. You just got too much on your plate to bait and cast a line. You can always put a rain check in his hand till you can't. You can keep putting off forever with that girl whose heart you hold, swearing that you'll last someday further down the road. You can always put a diamond on her hand till you can. If you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it. 'Cause a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can till you can. There's a box of greasy parts sitting in the trunk of that 65, still waiting on you and your granddad to bring it back to life. You can always get around to fixing up that Pontiac till you can't. Chance, take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can till you can. So take that phone call from your mama.
Where is he?
Just talk away. You'll never know how bad you want her till you can't someday. Don't wait on tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow may not show. Say your sorries, your I love yous, 'cause man, you never know. If you got a chance, take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back. You're gonna love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can till you can. Yeah, if you got a chance, take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna love somebody,
That's good.
That's pretty deep, isn't it? Huh? Boy, is that pretty deep. See, this plays into, we're going to take communion. This plays into what we were talking about the other day with dimensions. I don't know about you guys, as that song's playing, my mind is running through the past. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The past is there. It's somewhere there. And I access it. Somehow I access it. This flashes in front of me. That flashes. I think of this person. I think of that person. I think of, I went through that. That past is there. It's a dimension. Presence, a dimension, but it's gone. We're constantly going, walking out of the past. Amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. Joe, come on in. Lead us in communion. Till you can't.
Thank you, Coach.
You can't? No. Do it till you can't. Amen.
The reading today is Romans 8, 31 to 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not be with him also freely give us all things?
Things. Things. What's a thing?
Who shall lay?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just emoting here. Go ahead.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Who cares what they say about you? Go ahead.
Is it God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?
I'm doing my show. I'll call you back. My grandkids, I'm sorry, Joe. My grandkids are on vacation. They just called Grandpa. I'm doing my show. I'll call you back. I'm sorry. Live TV. Keep going.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress?
Hang on, Joe. I got to stop there. Folks, who? Tribulation isn't a who. Famine isn't a who. Persecution isn't a who. It's who uses those things to separate you from the love of Christ. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Joe, I'm sorry. There's an anointing on me today, brother. I'll try to behave. Go ahead.
Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Mm. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter.
Amen.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. In all those things. See, we pray that those things don't come to us. But he said, no, in them. In them, you're more than a conqueror. Huh? Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Why? Because you got to go into those things, into persecution, distress. You got to go into them. Oh, go ahead.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Hey, Joe, I wonder who persuaded him. Because he didn't used to think that way, did he? To be persuaded means you used to think one way, and now you think another. I get persuaded a lot. You guys get persuaded out there? I get persuaded a lot. Go ahead.
Well, I think he was persuaded on the way to Damascus, Coach.
Yeah, I think he was. But it's a continued process, right? It's a continuous process. The problem isn't my wife, it's me. I've been persuaded. It's me. I got to change me. I've been persuaded that I can't change her. Got to change me.
Okay.
I'm messing you up this morning, bro. I'm sorry.
No, well, like you said, you're a bit charismatic this morning.
I am, brother.
Maybe why we love you so much.
Thanks, man.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He that died for our sakes and is risen again. For the prophecies in the Bible. And we're so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful that we do worship the one and only true God. Then we still can't understand or fathom how you could give your only begotten Son for us. But we're grateful that we who believe in him may have everlasting life.
Shall not perish. Amen.
We are grateful, Lord. And we live in a broken place, Lord. We are broken, our families, our friends. Everything is broken, but some of it is less so. But we know that's still flawed within that you can't see. But please, Lord, don't let this brokenness stop us from trying to be better, to trying to be your ambassador, from trying to do what we can do to make it less broken. To make ourselves resemble you more as we are your ambassadors. And let us always remember WWJD, what would Jesus do? So often I'll have to say, oops, Lord, you wouldn't have done that. I repent from that, Lord. And these little stumbles we have, they can't take us off our track, off our path that you have us on. They'll make us stronger because we'll be a little bit wiser and less likely to do it again. But please come in our hearts and help us to pray for whom you would have us pray for, to say and do what you would have us do. To really become the ambassadors you would have us become, the disciples you are training us to be. And please heal those in this meal that heals, in their bodies, in their souls, in our brokenness. Heal us, Lord. Fix our hearts, physical and emotional and spiritual. Fix us from our feet to our head, Lord. And let us be a walking testimony for your miracles. And now we remember what Christ said at the Last Supper as he blessed and broke the bread and wine and drank the blessed and the bread and the wine, and that we may remember what he's done for us. And so we ask you to forgive us our sins and transgressions as we come into your sight, and to bless this that we eat and drink for remembering our Lord and what he's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Till we can't.
that we can. The Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe. Man. Man. I'm just going to pause a minute. Just real quickly. I think somebody's got something they want to say. Elizabeth?
Joe, I just want to thank you for doing this. When I started doing communion, I can see such a dramatic difference in my life. And so if it has helped anybody, I know personally it has helped me, and I want to thank you for doing what you do.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ben. Thanks. Pastor Tim.
So he read that verse, "more than conquerors." That Greek word means super conquerors. It's a great Greek word that means more than, super, hyper conquerors.
Wow.
I don't think you understand how much of a hyper conqueror we can be.
Should be. Hey, Tim, till we can.
Can be.
Right? Till we can. Right? We're just passing through this thing, man. Just passing through. Hey, Tim, I appreciate you, man, more than you know. And I know that soft spot in your heart, and I know that wound in your heart. The Lord's going to make all things new, Tim. I just want you to know that. He's going to make all things new. Kevin.
And I appreciate you.
Thanks. Just doing my job, Kevin. Just doing
today, my job. That song that you shared there a while ago, that struck a chord in me, and today's my birthday. So
really? I'd give you a big old kiss here on Valentine's Day, Kevin. Luckily, I'm not close to you.
We'll take a rain check.
By the way, Kevin, my mom's birthday today too. She passed, but it's her birthday as well.
Love you, bud.
Thanks, man. Love you too. Appreciate you, Pearl Valentine Dobler. Sorry, Mom, I forgot about it. I didn't forget about it. But Valentine's Day, I thought about my wife. Kevin,
I just want to say how awesome it is. The song, so powerful and so profound, came from a brother in Christ. So if you didn't know, Cody Johnson is a Christian. He's not a Christian singer. He's just a singer that happens to be a Christian. And, wise words, and I'm glad that you got a lot out of it, because I know I did.
Didn't we all get something out of it? The reality of it is, things that we haven't done because we're mad at somebody, we got a grudge against somebody, don't have time to do it, all that stuff, and boom, they're gone. So you can't. Jeff.
Coach, thank you for that song this morning. Just a couple things on my mind here this morning. Going to a funeral today. Old Larry Bauer here in Mount Vernon. His two kids are distraught. That's them two 24 and 30-year-old kids. So I got to think about it when you played that song. Last night, Mary Jane told me, because today's Valentine's Day, she's having chest pains yesterday. She's eating baby aspirin. Come to find out, she'd been eating these baby aspirins for, I don't know, 6-9 months. But she just holds everything. She don't want to say. She don't, you know what I mean? I sit and thought about that last night. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I just went over after you played that song. And I do this every year, but this would have had more meaning this morning. After you played that song, I went over and do what I always do. I draw a big old heart on that mirror over there in her bathroom. Say happy Valentine's Day, and right, I love you in it. But it meant more this morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't.
So you can.
So just pray. Just people out there, just pray for Mary Jane.
Lord, touch Mary Jane right now. It's a children's bread. She's your daughter. Lord, you could touch her and heal her. But you could also, Lord, stop that stubborn spirit of hers that says, I'm not going to go get help. I don't need to go get help. Lord, I just pray that you would, according to Psalm 37:23, that you would order her steps is what it is that you'd have her to do. Heal her if that's your will. Just direct her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, feel like Benny Hinn here. Go ahead, Roger.
I just wanted to say that yesterday, RFK Jr. was confirmed and sworn in.
I can't. First of all, Roger, I can't believe you brought that up because that's the next thing I'm going to do. This is the Holy Spirit's unbelievable.
I brought that up because I'm hoping and praying that our brother Paul, that all the pieces are coming together for him to be fully restored.
Well, we know this. He's on the right side, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's on the right side.
Exactly.
Well, folks, I'm going to show you something. Thanks. Thanks. Go ahead, Randy. I got to show you. I need 3 hours today. Go
ahead. Before you move on, Coach, I want to say this. If you notice this, looking back, every time you come there to the school and you speak to them, you come back on fire.
Oh, I do, brother.
You have we have the best shows, and not that they're not all good, but we have the most fiery shows after that. Coach, that's a testament. That is a testament. It's a picture of how we should be whenever we engage into the things, into the people, into everything. Not this isn't more just evangelism, but when we engage into them, it just stirs us up in our spirit, man, and it just puts us on fire. I'm telling you, Coach, we need to practice this. We need to practice this. That's how we keep the fire, Coach. We got to keep practicing.
Because do you know what charismatic really is, folks? Do you understand? If you go to the depth of charismatic, you know what it really is? It is Christ in you. They see Christ in you. The enthusiasm, the emotion, charismatic. It's a reflection of Christ. I got to confess to you, Randy. When I sounds like a sin. I didn't sin. Here's the truth. I come home so frustrated. From Worthington Kilborn, Thomas Worthington. Anytime I come home so frustrated. You know why? I said, Lord, why can't I do this every night? Why am I not in a pulpit every Sunday? Because why? The Spirit in me is electric, is it not? We all know this. It'll be in his timing, won't it? It'll be in his timing. But that is my greatest frustration. Not that I want to be Benny Hinn. Not that I want to be on the satellite millions watch. I see the impact of truth and the gifting that God has given me to deliver it. So I keep asking, Lord, why you got your foot on the brake? Why you got your foot on the brake? Hey, till you can't. Judah, come on in.
Coach, I just thought it was awesome. I don't know if you can see the link I put in the chat.
I didn't. Let me look here.
RFK Jr. I don't know if anybody can bring that up, but he posted for going to the Food and Drug Administration. It's just an epic message from himself.
Okay, I'll try. I'm gonna show you something else on him because friends, look. Can I ask you a question? Why do we expect theological purity to borderline Christians from borderline Christians? Robert F. Kennedy doesn't know Christ the way that I do. And maybe he doesn't know him the way that you do, the intimate connection that you have. The guy was raised Catholic. What was Donald Trump raised? I don't know. I'm guessing maybe Presbyterian? I don't. Why was he raised? Why is it you who've been following Christ your whole life expect Donald Trump to be where you are spiritually? You expect Robert Kennedy to be where you are. See, I look at Robert Kennedy. He wants to abort babies. I think, Lord, how can he not see? I don't know. But I know a lot of pro-choice Christians. Hey, you go to church with someone, and your pastor is pro-choice. Say, how do you know, Coach? Because he don't ever stand up and say anything about it. So evidently, it's okay with you. It's okay with whatever. I'm okay with it. You're okay. He's pro-choice. I'm telling you this. I don't know why you won't. Well, you are. That sounds condescending. Trust but verify, folks. These people are an instrument of somebody. They're an instrument of good or they're an instrument of evil. But if you think, I'm going to tell you something. If you think Robert F. Kennedy understands the spiritual realm the way that I do, you're drunk. You think Donald Trump understands the spiritual world the way I do? You're on drugs. Why is it we expect from Trump and from Robert F. Kennedy what we don't even expect from our pastors? You better know this. The Lord is using who he will use. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes it ain't the righteous. Now, whatever you want me to play here about Robert F. Kennedy, I know he's pro-abortion. I get all that. But here's what I heard yesterday. Are you ready? Here's what I heard yesterday. Play it, number one. Here's what I heard yesterday. Now, wait a minute. Hey, may not be righteous enough for you. May not be holy enough for you. May not be. Did you guys see this? Now, look, hey, I want you to ask yourselves. Oh, boy, I want to get up and run. When is the last conservative Christian that you heard say what you're about to hear? With Trump standing beside. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Now, wait a minute. Hey, he may not be righteous enough for you. He may not be. He may have some flip-flops. He may not be spiritually attuned with where we are. Go ahead and play that.
20 years, I've gotten up every morning on my knees and prayed that God would put me in a position where I can end the childhood chronic disease epidemic in this country. On August 23rd of last year, God sent me President Trump, and he gave me...
Hang on a minute. Freeze it. Can you guys imagine this going on in the Biden administration? Can't you see what the Lord's doing? You don't like the vessel. Not pure enough for you. Go ahead.
He's now given me, he's kept every promise that he's made to me. He's kept his word in every account and gone way beyond it. I'm so grateful to you, Mr. President. A lot of people told me that I couldn't trust President Trump. I better get it in writing. And we did a handshake, and everything that he told me he was going to do, he has done. And I'm so grateful to him, and I've told you before, I genuinely believe that you are a pivotal historical figure, that you are going to transform this country at a time when we see all of the indicia of democracy now in tatters in our country. We see the rise of the military-industrial complex, the rise of totalitarianism, these attacks on our Constitution, and this breathtaking epidemic that is disabling our people. President Trump has promised to restore the American dream in this country. A healthy person has 1,000 dreams. A sick person only has one. 60%.
Freeze it. Did you hear that? A healthy person has 1,000 dreams. A sick person only has one. Go ahead.
10% of our population has only one dream, that they get better. President Trump has promised that he's going to restore America's strength. But we can't be a strong nation if we have a weak citizenry, if people are sick. 60% of our, our people are sick. 77%, as President Trump mentioned, of our children cannot qualify for military service. And we need a man on a white horse now. We need somebody who is willing to come in and has the spine and the guts and the strength to challenge orthodoxies, to stand in the way of vested interests, and to break institutions that have turned against our democracy. President Trump has shown again and again that he is that hero. And most recently, I greatly appreciate, and I called you the day that you announced the termination of USAID. My uncle started USAID in 1961 for humanitarian purposes, to put our country on the side of the poor. It has been captured by the military-industrial complex. It has become a sinister propagator of totalitarianism across and war across the globe. And very few people understand how sinister this agency really is. And President Trump saw that, and he stood up to it with a masterstroke. And we want to do the same thing with the institutions that are stealing the health of our children. We need a revolutionary figure, and you are that figure, and I'm very grateful for you for giving me this opportunity. I want to recognize some of the allies that I've had in this battle for a long time, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Ron Johnson, Senator Roger Marshall, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Buddy Carter, who've all been champions of the MAHA agenda before I even came along. I'm very grateful for you for standing strong. Thank you very much, President Trump. Or,
now, wait a minute. Bobby Kennedy's a Catholic. And he's doing this, and he's doing this. Somebody stop him. Jesus, Bobby Kennedy's doing all that. Anybody know what Jesus said? Leave him alone. For those who are not against us are for us. And if we would take time to measure our own behavior by the same scale that we measure him, see, we're without excuse. You know why we're without excuse? We know the truth and won't do anything about it.
Boom.
He's got part of it. And he sure as hell doing something with the part that he has. We could all learn a lesson.
Amen.
Huh? Hmm? Did you guys hear what he said? Look, say what you want to. For 20 years, God called him. He said that, not me. And then when they call him, he's not righteous enough for you, me. Come on now. When's the last time you have heard politicians in the last 20 years? God talk in the White House. Are they, well, coach, they're just trying to pull a fast one on you. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they are. But he ain't against us. He's missing a lot of things. Can I tell you something? I'm missing a lot of things spiritually. Kevin. First Kevin. Two Kevins.
I'd say that's a pretty good start. And a lot of times we fail to recognize a good start. And a start is nothing but a beginning. And God said not to despise the day of small beginnings. So, you know, think about that. This is a good place to start with.
Bobby Kennedy is saying what the average pastor in America won't say. Yes or no?
Amen.
Van Story, get on in here.
How many people will actually admit that every day for the last 20 years that they've gotten on their knees and gotten on their face and asked him what to do?
He said that for the last 20 years, every morning.
Now, every day.
It wasn't every morning. Are you on your knees every morning? Saying, Lord, Lord, use me, Lord. I see it, Lord. Use me, Lord. And then when he steps to the plate, he ain't righteous enough for us Christians. I'm just telling you the truth. Hey, Trent, I'm going to do this. I'm about out of time. I want to do Ephesians 1. No, I'm going to, no, let me, oh, Lord, how do I do this? I'm not going to do it, Trent. I'm going to do it on Monday because we're going a good direction. If I want to, I want you guys to understand this. I'm not a theologian, nor the son of one. I'm not a biblical expert. I haven't been to cemetery. But the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The exact same spirit. It's only one of them. Folks, look, here's what we don't understand. We think, everything we think, all of us in general, human beings, we think from a natural, what's the word, material point of view. Because everything we do, everything we live our life in, is in the material realm, everything we do. We're influenced by everything materially. I look over there and say, man, I gotta clean that up. I got to move that. We're moved by all this material stuff. But friends, you're a spirit. You're a spirit. When Jesus said, taught you to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's showing us a division. Heaven isn't a physical place, not like Disneyland or not like Washington, D.C. You can't drive to heaven. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. It's with thy kingdom come. It is within you. Right is the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're not going to the kingdom. The kingdom's coming. The kingdom's coming. It's coming in us individually, but we can't get away from our carnal eyes. We're looking at everything that we can see with our natural eyes, and we have never learned to exercise our spiritual eyes. Lord, I see Robert Kennedy. I see him physically. Lord, help me to see spiritually. What is he saying to us spiritually? Because, folks, we talk about the new heaven and the new earth, and this will pass away, and the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. What? Prepared as a bride. I thought the church was the bride. What? Where is that? Pull up number 6. Yeah, pull that up. Just go down to the, huh? I was going to do all this. I'm not going to do it now. I'm just going to give you a little taste here, okay? Scroll on down. Where is it? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm looking for the scripture. There it is. In the many years since my childhood days of singing that song, I never once read in the Bible where it says that heaven has golden streets. However, Revelation 21:21, speaking of the new Jerusalem, it does say the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. See, the new Jerusalem is within. It's within. Revelation 21:2. Do you see it there, Spencer? Do you see 21:2? It's third paragraph, right there, third paragraph. Someone may say, aren't they one and the same? Heaven and the New Jerusalem? Aren't they the same thing? Heaven and the New Jerusalem? Well, and I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. There's the bride, the new Jerusalem, prepared. Folks, this is not, although it may be physical, this is spiritual, a spiritual Jerusalem. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. We're earth. We're the earth. Thy kingdom come down here. We're not going to the kingdom. The kingdom has come. Some of you think I'm crazy. I don't. I'm just telling you, I don't care if you do. I don't care if you do. We are currently, right now, connected to the kingdom. If you're a born-again believer, you are connected to the kingdom. The new Jerusalem descending out of heaven, adorned as a bride. By the way, why do you have to be, if the church, sorry, if the church is the bride, why do you have to be invited to the wedding? See, what did Jesus say? Whew, this is off the top of my head. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You can't see it. It isn't someplace we're going. It's something that comes in us. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it says in Romans. That's the kingdom of God. And we sit around in this earth suit, in this natural realm filled with the kingdom of God, and we don't even understand it. We don't even understand. Whoever has taught you or me about the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? It's within us, it says in Rome. Is it Romans? 1 Corinthians, maybe? The kingdom of God is within. And we preach where we're going to go, and it's coming. Going to be a head-on collision, because it's come. Oh, my goodness. Whew. Neither say, Spencer, I'm going to send you a dollar. You're doing good today. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, how many of us have lived our whole lives being taught that we are going to heaven? Because heaven and the kingdom ain't the same thing. We've been confused. And year after year after year, generation after generation after generation after generation, people just repeat things they already heard. And it is not always the truth. That's what I love about my life. I'm not afraid to know the truth. I'm really not. I'm really not afraid. Oh, about some things, maybe. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I want to know the truth. And I'm just here to tell you. People say Satan's the prince. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place today. He's the prince of the power of the air. What does that mean? Why would he be the prince, number one, of the power? But why would he be the prince of the power of the air? What's the air? Oh, that air is that invisible area around us that we can't see. We can feel it, Jesus said. You can feel it, but you can't touch it. And so he is the prince of the power of the air, but he ain't the king. He ain't the king. Why? Because the king's come. He's within us. Oh, Lord, how do you help him see? We're so carnally minded. We're no earthly good. RJ, this is a keeper.
Yeah. Thy kingdom come. Lord, thank you. The kingdom
we
of
pray
God.
That, don't we, RJ? Don't we pray that? We don't pray, thy kingdom, can I come? No, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come down here. Will you? Will you bring that down here?
Yeah, your kingdom is emerging. We're taking the frequencies. The air where the enemy dwells is only in his command as long as we're silent. But we're saying, thy kingdom come. And it's emerging.
It's emerging.
Praise God.
Huh? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The kingdom's already within me. Huh? It's within me.
And today, the kingdom of darkness is falling, just like the big pharma stocks are going to fall. Look at their prices. Watch that.
It's all going on, right? Because, huh? There ain't nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Why? Because this kingdom's come, baby. This kingdom's come, and this he's going to guide us into all truth. It's what it says. What it says.
Hey.
And till you can't.
Right.
Till you can't.
Speak. Preach.
Think of the impact you can have till you can't. Think of the mess you can make till you can't.
Yes, sir.
Think of the money you can earn and put in the bank. You ain't going to spend it when you're gone till you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you say you love the Lord and you serve the Lord, and they're teaching little kids to cut off their dicks, and they're teaching women to kill their babies, and you don't say a thing about it? Really? Really? Your church doesn't say anything about it? You all gather in there and dance before the Lord and wave your flags and speak in tongues and all that music and the smoke machines, and ain't a damn one of you doing anything about what they're doing to the little kids, when the Bible said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck. For you to do it yourself, put a millstone around your neck, throw yourself in the deepest part of the ocean and defend one of these little ones. I got to show you this real quick, okay? Pull up. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where? Maybe it's a standalone one I sent to you, Spence. Pull up. Where is, oh my goodness. No, yes, yes. Jonah and the whale. Did you guys see this? They have it. They come. Imagine this. I'm sorry to scream. This is an actual true picture of a whale swallowing a kayak. It just happened February 13th, 2025. Watch this.
Sí, yo pensé que me había comido ya y que me había tragado, pero claro, yo sentía que quizás era una orca, habíamos estado hablando de orcas poco antes, entonces tenía eso en la cabeza, pero ya cuando salí,
play that again, they don't believe it, play that again, they don't believe it, the guy's just filming it, and along comes a whale, he swallows old Jonah.
Sí, yo pensé que me había comido ya y que me había tragado, pero claro.
I bet that guy's got a story to tell. Too bad. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hey, folks. Two kingdoms in conflict here. Two kingdoms in conflict. We have the opportunity, while we're here, to make a difference for the cause of Christ everywhere we look. Till we can't. See you on Monday.